This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. We're going to talk about these dirty commies worming their way into the government just briefly, because you already know what's happening. Then I am going to talk about what Mamdani said in New York City today. I'll get to that in just a few minutes. We'll get to some emails. My buddy Buck Sexton's coming up. You know Buck, coming up about a half hour from now. He's got a book out on, you know how we talk about the sky is green, how they can lie and lie and lie, and they can change people's minds when they can see the truth. They know the truth, and yet they won't speak it. Buck is going to talk to us about that. All that and more still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, back to a discussion we've had many times before, so this is just another instance of it. I'm just going to spend a minute on it because you and I have had this talk before. Communists believe in conquering institutions. The long march through the institutions, that was a phrase coined by a communist, an Italian communist, Antonio Gramsci. They were tired of slamming into the institutions and being defeated by the institutions, and they realized, you can't have this communist revolution from the outside. You have to infiltrate. You have to do it from the inside. And they sought out about 100 years ago to start conquering these institutions. In the United States government, it's bad. It's really bad. And because of our ridiculous laws, you can't just go in and fire everybody. Once they get in, it's hard to get them out. And they see themselves as infiltrators. Remember, the communist who works for your company or who works with you, they see themselves as a spy. You know that, right? They know when they have to say the right things and do the right things and show up at the company picnic. They get that. But in the end, they have a religion. That religion most definitely supersedes the bottom line of the company. And they intend to carry out that religion. Your child school teacher with the Black Lives Matter flag. Oh, she knows. She has to hand out a history exam. She gets that. Oh, we have means testing coming up. She knows she has to do. She knows. But she's just playing a role then. She's there for the revolution. Now, all that's damaging enough, but they get inside of the government and they just seem to put down anchors from regime to regime, Democrat president, Republican president. They'll just move from one department to the other department. Here's a story out of the Free Beacon. Biden official who created the disinformation board, pause. You remember Nina Jankovic? Nina Jankowicz, you may call her. Remember that name? In case you don't. Remember the Biden administration? They tried something. They tried something and they quickly realized they pushed it a little too far and then they backed away from it. What was it? Well, it was the board, the Ministry of Information, essentially. It was the Board of Disinformation. The Biden administration briefly created an organization, a government organization, and of course they put a communist as the head of it, and they were going to be the ones who really knew the truth. And they would, of course, put that information from the United States government out to the public, just as Orwellian and Soviet as you could possibly get, because the Biden administration was run by communists. That's what they did. Now, who actually created it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Her name is Jennifer Daskal. She helped select the board's director, Nina Jankovic. What do you think she's doing now? Think she's teaching at Yale? Maybe she's anchoring a show on MSNBC? Nope, let me finish the headline. Biden official who created disinformation board appointed as a FISA court advisor, sparking concern from Republican senators. She will now advise judges on foreign surveillance legal issues. You see, this is what they do. They march through the institutions with no intention of ever leaving. They are not swayed that Donald Trump won an election. They're not swayed because Democrats were rejected in November. That means nothing to them whatsoever. You only take a government job if you're a Democrat with the intention of moving the revolution forward, no matter who happens to be president. You may have to be quieter about it under a guy like Trump. You may have to actually do nothing. Sometimes you have to do nothing under a guy like Trump. Well, I got to keep my head down. But the revolution is always at the forefront of their minds. You have to get these people out. They don't know any other way. They see themselves as spies. And this goes beyond the government, remember. This goes beyond the FBI, the Ministry of Disinformation, or whatever it is. That Hollywood writer, the communist. I just saw, I think it's Netflix. Don't quote me on that. That might be wrong. Somebody has a new series coming out on Joan of Arc. You know, European Joan of Arc? Yeah, she's black. The actress is black. Who would do that? How could they do that? The people who write and produce and direct these shows, they're not trying to be historically accurate. They're trying to rewrite history, spit in your face, move the revolution forward, and eradicate white people who they view as their greatest enemy. I've pointed it out before. The Democrat who works in your company, are you a manager, a business owner? Oh, that's Tina. She works in HR. The first chance she gets, Tina is going to use your company, what you've built, your resources, your money, your email address, whatever. The first chance she gets, she's going to move the communist revolution forward using your company. Because her religion supersedes your Hollywood movie, supersedes your company, they're going to, that new Sunday school teacher, she's so sweet. She volunteered to watch the third graders on Sunday. Yeah, she's got a Biden-Harris bumper sticker, but she teaches Sunday school. It'll be about Jesus, right? Oh, it will be when you're watching. It'll be lots of the time. Every chance she gets, she's going to throw a little communism in here, a little communism in there. Aiden, Jaden, and Braden, when you pick them up from Sunday school, they'll be using words like diversity in the Bible. You'll be looking around thinking, wait, what? Where did you learn that? She sees herself as a spy. You cannot, in this modern era where the Democrat Party has become demonic, communist, and evil, you cannot bring a Democrat into your organization, no matter what your organization is, without accepting that you brought in an infiltrator, a spy, a revolutionary who will bring poison with them. And I wish to God it wasn't that way. You run your business how you want. If you're not walking through the parking lot looking for coexist bumper stickers when it's time to lay people off, then you get what you get. Don't throw a fit. But I don't understand. Gary's been here for years. I can't believe he would send that email out about Black History Month to all our vendors. Now they're mad and people are canceling their contracts. Did you look at Gary's bumper stickers? Have you talked to Gary about politics? Did you think he looked at your email address as yours? That's not how communists look at things at all. Everything is his. Everything must be used for the revolution. Whether you want it used for the revolution or not is the furthest thing from Gary's mind. Gary doesn't care about that. You have a company. You have resources. You have a Sunday school. You have little minds. You have this. You have that. And whatever you have must be taken from you and used for the revolution. Would you like to hear a wonderful slash horrible example of this? I'm going to give it to you. Because the new communist mayor of New York City, he's finally taken over. He has come up with a budget that exceeds the entire state of Florida. And he gave a little speech today. I just want to remind you, if you're a communist listening to me in New York City on the great WOR, don't you dare move to my state. You sit right there and you take it. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, Zohran Mamdani got elected mayor of New York City not too long ago, just this last November. And I remember we talked about it many times when he was running, that they're always selling revenge. And that people on the right still don't really truly understand the mind of the communist. And so they're always, always, always pointing out that won't work. Free buses won't work. And here's why. Rent control won't work. And here's why. That won't work. And that won't work. Well, you can have that conversation with your normie friends. But don't think you're ever going to sway a Democrat with that. They're not voting for what will work. They're filthy, dirty thieves. They're voting for revenge. They're voting to take your stuff and use your stuff for themselves and the revolution. When you tell a communist his policies won't work, you will never, ever, ever sway him, ever at all. He has no intention of these things working. He intends to destroy as much as humanly possible while looting the treasury for himself and his friends. New York City, to their credit, American-born New Yorkers did not vote for Zohran Mamdani. I believe they rejected him, like 60% of them voted against him. But because New York City has been voting Democrat so long, the entire city is now full of foreigners. And don't tell me that it was always foreigners. I understand there have always been foreigners in New York City, and you've had this immigration and Italian immigration and Jewish immigration and Irish immigration, and you've always had a Puerto Rican side of town and the Chinatown. And I understand that New York City is a more foreigner-type city than many other cities. I get that. Never in the history of New York City has it been like this. A bunch of disloyal dirtbag foreigners who don't give a crap about the United States of America, yet they get to vote in our elections. And those foreigners en masse went to the polls and they voted in Zohran Mamdani. And the right was yelling over and over again, but that won't work and that won't work. Zohran Mamdani, he got up today and he gave a speech. See, he's been in office a month now. Jewish producer Chris just gave him some credit. He's like, hey, I give him credit. He lasted a month before he did it. Looks like it's looting time.
What I'd rather do is ensure that they remain as they are so that the city can be on firm financial footing. However, in order to get to this point of closing the gap on both this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, we are forced to raid the rainy day fund, the retiree health benefits trust reserve, and to increase property taxes across these other years.
Oh. What is all this sowing? I thought I could just reap and reap and reap, and the sowing would never come. But it turns out, you reap and you sow. New York City is going to burn. The trash is already piling up. the homeless people are dying in droves. Headline from Red State, New Yorkers wake up to the Islamic call to prayer. New York City taxes are some of the most insane, back-breaking taxes I've ever heard of in my life. That's before Zohran Mamdani got there. Did you know, wrap your mind around this. Of course, everyone, again, everyone in New York City listening is going to already know, but for everyone else, $100,000 a year salary. I think you would argue that's a real nice salary, right? I'm 44 years old. For a very, very tiny percentage of my life, did I ever make $100,000 in a year? That's big boy money for me. Big boy money. $100,000 a year in New York City is barely getting by. You can't afford to live. Can't afford to eat. The taxes are so high on everything. The taxes are about to go up. All these funds, like the rainy day fund, they're about to be, what word did he use? You know what, Chris? Would you do me a favor and play that again? Would you play that one more time for me, please?
Would rather do is ensure that they remain as they are so that the city can be on firm financial footing. However, in order to get to this point of closing the gap on both this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, we are forced to raid the rainy day fund, the Retiree Health Benefits Trust Reserve, and to increase property taxes across these other years.
Raid the rainy day fund. They're all just dirty thieves. They're all just destroyers. And if you ever make the terrible mistake of electing one, they're going to make your life miserable. Doesn't even matter if you voted for them, but I'm on their side. You're all going to suffer pain now. And the pain is the result of your stupidity. If you voted for them. If you didn't, I'm sorry. And this is why I'll continue to come back to my law. I want to live in a free country where people can move about freely. But I do not believe you should be allowed to leave New York City if you voted for Zohran Mamdani until his time in office is over. You sit there and you take it. You sit there and you suffer for the dumb things you've done to other people. Sad, because you know how much I adore the place, but I ain't coming back. If you are in pain, I would recommend Relief Factor. It can't give you tax relief, but give you pain relief. That's something, isn't it? Isn't it nice to not have to suffer from chronic pain? Maybe you don't even know what that's like. Maybe you've been in chronic pain for years. It's been years. Maybe it's been years since you've gone out and done that thing you love to do because it hurts. Ah, my wrist always hurts. My back hurts too bad. I can't. My knee. Why don't you let Relief Factor fix it? Not for a couple hours, not temporarily, permanently taking away your pain. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to try it for 3 weeks. It's a three-week quick start. That's all they're selling you. $19.95. You try it for 3 weeks. It's $20. If it doesn't work, don't call them back. It's that simple. If you feel better, and you will, call them and get more. 1-800, the number 4 relief, or go to relieffactor.com. All right? Buck Sexton's going to break down a little bit of the mind. Remember that opening of the show? Talking about all the tranny madness and how they break people's minds. Hang on for this one. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't
shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. What an appropriate intro song my good friend Buck Sexton chose, because he's got a new book out, a new book called Manufacturing Delusion. Buck, you know, I hate to be old guy, but younger people than us don't realize how big Cypress Hill was back in the day. Didn't matter who you were, didn't matter where you were from, everybody had a Cypress Hill CD of some kind. Everyone did.
Oh, man, if you were a kid in American suburbia in the early 90s, you had a hat cocked a little sideways, a 40 of Old English at the house party, and Cypress Hill was playing loudly in the background. But yes, Insane in the Membrane, Insane in the Brain could in fact be the theme song of my book, Manufacturing Delusion, which I don't know if you know, but as the Oracle, I've spoken to your people, it is officially endorsed by the Oracle as something that the Oracle's audience should buy and read. So I worked that out with them.
Well, I endorsed it because I agree with everything in it. I love that you wrote a book about it, because it for people who don't understand how evil propaganda is and why communists will just tell gigantic lies, they arrested a five-year-old. They are washing people's brains. It is brainwashing, and they can create something out of nothing in the minds of at least a decent percentage of people, and that's what you wrote about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Jesse, you and I think, really got to particularly know each other's work during COVID, which was the ultimate in American mass hysteria. And you know, you and I were both people who were saying, and this is all public record, you know, the schools should not close. The whole thing is nuts. Like the rejection of natural immunity after you've had the virus, to Fauci's the masks, which were obviously just complete horse you know, manure. The whole thing was nuts. And I was like, how do you make so many people so crazy? How do you convince the airline attendant who was walking up to me telling me that I needed to put another mask on my face because the mask I had looked kind of thin? That actually happened to me. I had to double mask or risk being booted from, you know, Delta Airlines for the rest of my life. Jesse, it's actually not that different from this, from the messaging, the tactics, the strategies used in Maoist China to get kids to beat their teachers to death on a stage in front of everybody, or in the Soviet Union to get people in a show trial to admit to insane crimes that it's not even theoretically possible for them to have committed, and to beg for the death penalty in their own trial. You make people believe, you force the delusion, you break them down. And I have this in chapters, whether it's conditioning, Pavlovian conditioning, menticide, which is the homicide of the brain, coined by a guy named Joost Merlu from the Second World War, who worked, by the way, with Nazi POWs as a psychiatrist to debrief them. So he had this, he came up with this whole framework. You mentioned brainwashing. The Chinese called it thought reform. Brainwash is an American neologism from the Mandarin for wash brain, which is what some of them would say had happened to people as a result of thought reform. And then we get into some of the cults, you know, the cult frenzy of like the 70s and into the 80s. And it just takes people through these different formulations. And then this is how you get Democrats saying, we can't tell the difference between a penis and a vagina. Men don't have an advantage over women in sports. You say the sky is purple, Jesse. That actually could have been the title of this book in a sense. How do you get people to say and believe the sky is purple? It is the ultimate power, and this is the essentially playbook of the bad guys for how to do that.
Buck, can you explain to me, again, speaking with my buddy Buck Sexton, he has this wonderful new book out. Can you explain to me as best you can why it works on some people and doesn't work on others. And I honestly, I ask this more than anything else as a father. I want to make sure I'm raising two boys who will not succumb to this kind of propaganda. It's not going away. They all use this. They always will. What's the difference between the person who buys it and the one who doesn't?
So it's a great question, and I get into this obviously in the latter half of the book, the latter part of the closing chapter of the book, where I'm looking at, first of all, the future of this stuff, which is going way beyond what even 100 years ago, when the science, if you will, of mind control with the rise of communism and Pavlov's experiments with dogs just by historical accident coincided. And then you take it to the present where you have a future with brain implants and AI and things that are going to be mechanistic control of your brain or mechanical control of your brain is going to become increasingly something that we have to be aware of. And then how you, I think that's now just a question of when, not if, because of the speed at which these advances are happening. Even things as simple as how long before people can make videos showing a politician doing something or showing someone doing, and you can't tell the difference at all. And it gets so good that even you and I, Jesse, will say, well, how are we supposed to tell the difference between what's real and what's fake that's circulating online? That's a big problem. And that's already happening. And how we avoid this, and you mentioned your boys, I think that the great dissident in the Soviet Union, Solzhenitsyn, who I know you know his writings well, lived not by lies. And that's not just on the big things. That's on the little things. This is where the preferred pronoun stuff comes in. This is where climate change is an existential threat. This is where they want you to mouth the preferred slogans of the regime to say things that you know are debasing, that you know are lies, and you have to always just say no. You're going to tell me that's actually a chick and it's a dude? Not going to do it. Sorry. Not happening, right? I mean, and that's a simple example, but there are countless examples. And I mean, in my mind, if you refuse to accept lies, for example, there's almost no Democrat policy right now in America that you could go along with. You have to believe that, for BLM to be a real thing for you, you have to believe that the cops kill thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of unarmed black men every year, not five. Right. You have to believe the lies. So if you live not by lies, you will not succumb. But that is the first and final line of defense. Never accept the lies that they try to force on you, because that is how they break you down.
Buck, is that why they still embrace the tranny stuff? The tranny stuff is not only a tiny percent of the population, it's politically death. I mean, no party in a representative republic would embrace an issue that has such little support with the general public, yet the communists, the Democrat Party, they're still all in all the time. And for people who think logically, it doesn't make sense. Why not let this go? It's only hurting you politically, but they won't. Is that why?
This is, again, there's a chapter in the book, which is called Menticide. And I specifically look at this process of breakdown and reconditioning. And really, Jesse, the two pillars of this, and again, this is using the Mirlu framework. And this is a guy who worked he was a Second World War propaganda and psyops guy, who then was a psychiatrist doing debriefs of Nazis to figure out, basically Nazi Germany. And I get into some of this in the book, too. There's mass delusions and mass hysteria that are weaponized for the same way they are in the Soviet Union, the same way to this day they are in North Korea. Like, these are real things that are happening and that have happened, and everyone needs to be aware of them. But confusion and degradation are the two pillars. You get people kind of confused about what they can believe, what they don't believe, and then you degrade them by making them mouth the preferred slogans, by saying things they know to be untrue. And if you can get them to say, that's not a 200-pound dude, that is a woman, you can get them to say anything, because you have embarrassed their ability. You have undermined their ability to make the most basic distinctions about the world around them. And you've also subjugated them. You've subjugated their reason, right? Jesse, it's the same reason why, they required people, the Soviets, you have to walk around, and every bureaucrat, every apparatchik has to say, we have the best grain harvest in the history. Like, people are starving to death, but we have the best grain harvest in the history of grain harvest. And everyone has to say that. Because if you can say we have the best harvest ever while people are starving to death, what can't you make people say? And so that's where the trans thing comes in, as well as, by the way, I think that the left just became completely flush and really delusional with power because of the control they had online and social media. People forget now. You could be kicked off of social media, whether it was Twitter or Facebook, even a few years ago, for dead naming somebody, for using some tranny's previous name. That's how we were treated. And now we're wondering why, when the reality is coming out and people are speaking the truth, you have these crazy violent incidents with these maniacs who are going around shooting people because they think they're being erased. They think there's a genocide against them. Well, could anyone be more visible? You know, we're just talking about the news that today, this guy in Rhode Island, Jesse, I mean, to your audience, if they haven't seen it, to any of you, if you look at a photo of this guy, you could not show me a photo of a person who is more manifestly insane than the individual in Rhode Island, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you're strapping fake boobs on, like, Macho Man Randy Savage with less steroids, covering in tattoos, having him dye his hair pink, and telling him he's a woman? It's completely insane. And yet you have Canada saying, after a mass shooting in British Columbia, again, a person killing his own family. I don't think there's anything more evil than someone murdering their own family members. Killed his own family members, and they were correcting journalists for misgendering, Jesse. The mass murderer. Like, this is crazy, and everyone needs to understand why they are forcing this crazy on you. It is a psychological epidemic, and it is to a purpose. This is not accidental, and we have to fight against this stuff.
His book is Manufacturing Delusion. We talk about this stuff all the time. If you want to know why they do what they do, why they tell you a man can become a woman, the techniques they use, Buck Sexton, Manufacturing Delusion. Buck, my brother, as always, I appreciate you very much.
You're the man, Jesse. Thank you so much.
Go get it. Understand your enemy. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'll get to those in a minute. Hey, Chris, how much do you think Corey is suffering right now? For those who don't know, I'm sorry. If you don't know, producer Corey is out for 3 weeks. Why? Just had a baby. Congratulations to him and his lovely wife, of course. But 3 weeks. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? It's fun for a day, 2 days. Then you're ready to get back to work? You're going stir crazy? Plus, that's a woman's time. It's not that I didn't enjoy when the boys were born. I held them and, hey, don't think I'm some barbarian. I changed diapers and all that. I did everything. If someone had to do, you know, she needed some extra sleep and maybe she unloaded some milk for me and I gave it to the kid in the middle of the night. I did all that. I took my, I think it was 2 weeks paternity leave. It sucked. It did, Chris. The kids, for a dude, the kids get cooler as you get older. My kid went to, he gathered up with some friends on Saturday. And they went up to some big convention that was here in Houston. I don't know what it was. He tried to explain it to me, but I was only half paying attention. But it doesn't matter. He came home and showed me the sword he bought. Now, it was plastic. It's not like it was a real sword. But he came in, "Dad, look at my sword." And then we were practicing swinging the sword around and stuff like that. They get better as they get older for a dude. When they're just newborn like that. They don't do anything. They sleep. They poop. They puke. They wake you up. And look, I want you to have babies. I want you to get married and make as many babies as you possibly can. Please go forth. Procreate. But don't, if you're a dude, don't think for a moment those moments are as magical as women make them out to be. Now, they're magical for women. That's a woman's time. For a dude, a couple days, and you're all, "I'm ready to go back to work now. I gotta go back to work." Hey, you should know, though, that Jewish producer Chris and I, we are being super nice to him during this time. it's not as if we ordered from his favorite cheesesteak spot today and then sent him pictures and told him how delicious it was. We would never do something like that. No, no, no. We're Corey, if you're listening right now, we're rooting for you, buddy. Only a few more weeks. Also, have you given a tunnel to Towers yet? You know, widows and orphans need your help. They do. We can't forget about them. Cops go out there every day. They get themselves killed because our society's full of scumbags and they have to wade into that scum. Firefighters do this. Gold Star families are still struggling. Homeless veterans, huge problem in this country. Who is going to help take care of these people? Tunnel to Towers has been caring for these people for a very, very long time, and they've never asked a big ask of anyone. All they've ever asked for, $11 a month. Have you ever looked up a charity rating website, by the way? There are all kinds of these independent places that rate charities because so many charities are scummy and scammy. Tunnel to Towers? Go look them up. I want you to look it up. When you give $11 to Tunnel to Towers, it goes to the heroes and the heroes' families you want it to go to. T2T.org. T2T.org. Hey, Jesse, in honor of President's Day, that was yesterday, who would you say is the worst president in American history? Woodrow Wilson, FDR, Obama, Biden are top contenders. I can make an argument for any of them. Where are you in this? Oh, man. Maybe Abe Lincoln. Now, what? Chris, stop. I'm just making a joke. Stop. I would say FDR. And people may be tempted to push back on that, and we could obviously argue about it, and you may be right, but Obama I despise more than any, because as I've argued, there were plenty of bad presidents, including FDR. Obama's the first one who really had a genuine hatred for the country, and he brought that mentality into the White House, and he hired other people who hated the country, and so many of them remain there to this day. We still suffer from Obama, but in the early 20th century, the early 1900s, really the first half of the 20th century, I would say, that's a period of time when communism was on the move globally. And I don't know. I'm going to ask God one day. I don't know what was happening globally. But when you look at the things that took place in the first half of the 20th century, the two world wars and Holocaust and Russian Revolution, and you look at all these things that were taking place, I believe there was a unique devil movement going on in the globe. And I know that's the worst way to possibly put that, that people could put that so much smarter than I just did. But it really was an overwhelming amount of evil happening. And while all that evil was happening, there seemed to be these figureheads that appeared in so many different places that moved it along and helped it along. And I'll expand on that. I didn't realize I was out of time. I'll expand on that next hour. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.